Well, this morning, as we have been hearing these readings, it was a little earlier than that this actually came to my mind. And when I came in, I saw this "All Done for Love" and "I love you more, love you most," which I assume has some kind of a connection to something that's happened, or somebody just
The Easter service.
The which?
The Easter service.
The Easter service. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Because as I was pondering these readings, two songs came to mind. Now, I realize that in saying this, I'm going to be dating myself. But I understand that lots of young people like some of that era of songs. That would be the ones that were new when I was young and are coming back again. Does anybody remember the song by Queen? I heard some laugh, a little bit of laugh. Queen, yes, dating, yes. Okay, good, excellent. There we go. What is it called? Need Somebody to Love. We could probably all sing it, right? I need somebody to love, find me somebody to love, right? You remember that song? That's great. Yeah, find me some, pardon me?
Before my time.
Before your time, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Retirement Guy here is before his time. Yeah, yeah. What is it, 3 months that you're younger than me? It's 3 months, yeah. It's a bit of a sore point, I gotta say. I'm not sure who said he could get retired before me, but anyways, there we are. But yes, find me somebody to love. And then the other song that came to mind at almost exactly the same time was, and now this is gonna be a little bit tougher because it's a different crowd, but. Does anybody remember the song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places? Oh, yeah, that got more response than the Queen one. That's it. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I think that was a country song, wasn't it? I don't remember anything other than the first line of these songs. It's like with hymns, I can always sing the first two lines or maybe a verse and then I stop. But anyways, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, why did they come to mind? Well, I was chewing on the readings for today, and we have these two brilliant things that go so well together, although they seem at first to be disparate. The Acts reading, of course, is the story of St. Paul as he's standing at the Areopagus in Athens, and he's gone there to speak. They've taken him there to talk before everybody to find out what he's on about. And we just heard the little talk that he did. And then in John's Gospel, we have Jesus speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper before he is going to be arrested and taken off. And, you know, one seems like there's Paul speaking in Athens and doing this sort of really heady kind of apologetic, if you like. And then on the other one, you've got Jesus talking to his close circle of friends, his disciples, and preparing them for his crucifixion and his departure, in a sense, but coming back. But I just want to say they go together so beautifully well. And why is that? Well, let's just take a minute and start and think about this reading from the book of Acts with St. Paul at the Areopagus. Now, in case anybody doesn't know, the Areopagus was a place in Athens where people went to sort of debate and talk and share ideas, and so philosophers would go there and present their case, and others would argue with them and whatnot. And the brilliant thing about what Paul does in this place is that he looks around him and he sees a little altar that says to an unknown God. And that's what he takes with him as he goes. But he starts off by saying, I see that you are religious in every way, or are very religious, depending on the particular translation. You are very religious people. Why would he say that to the Athenians when he's on the Areopagus? Because when you went through Athens in those days, what you would have seen was a temple or a shrine to all sorts of different, well, Greek gods, right? Anybody who did this in school, you probably can name a bunch of the ones. And when they said religious in every way, he's actually, I don't want to say the word complimenting, but he's pandering a little bit, because it was considered to be a very, very good thing to be religious in the ancient world. Piety was, you know, your devotion to the various gods. And so he's sort of saying, well, I see that you're religious. You have all these temples. You obviously spend time doing all this stuff. And you know, I see how religious you are. And then he points out and says, well, you had one altar to an unknown God because you figured that's something you didn't know. And I just want to affirm I'm just paraphrasing Paul's words now. I just want to affirm you're ignorant. Did you hear that when he said that? That's what he actually said to them was, yeah, you're religious in all sorts of ways. That's really good, except that you're ignorant. You really don't know what you're doing. Because it's actually the unknown God that you should be thinking about because you obviously don't know who God is. Because you're looking for love in all the wrong places. I mean, sorry, that's not what he said, but you know what? That's what he meant, though, right? Because what? They're looking for how do we get, you know, how do we live in this world? How do we understand what's going on? How do we deal with all of the things that are going on? Well, you know, we developed this whole system of, you know, gods, and each one represents a different thing, and so if we do all this, then we will have that all under control, and we'll be connected to all this thing. And Paul says, well, actually, yeah, no, that's not it. You are looking for love in all the wrong places. What you're looking for is the love of the one who made us, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And so, and that God has sent his messenger. He sent Jesus, who was crucified but was raised from the dead as a witness that God has given us that this is the one. Now, if we were to go on, of course, we would hear that Paul gets mocked, as you would expect, at the Areopagus. And so, you know, there's more story to come. But that's where I want to stop with that one, because there we have it. Paul saying, actually, you're really good at looking in all the wrong places. And at least you've acknowledged some ignorance, so let's go with that. What you don't know is the way, because this is the way that you will find out what you ought to know. So how does that go well with what Jesus has to say to the disciples and the Last Supper? Well, in fact, we have exactly the opposite thing going on at the Last Supper. The two are like two sides of the story. The one is where it's all wrong and being pointed in the direction, and the other is where Jesus is making it all right. And what Jesus says is, well, actually, I will never leave you. I will always be with you because you will abide in my love and I will abide in love with you and I abide in the Father. And so we will be there with you because we will send the Holy Spirit to make our home with you. So we will be present with you. We will be drawing you nearer. We will, in fact, be loving you. We are the love. We are that love that you need, that your heart is yearning for. In fact, what you've been yearning for all along is this one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that is present to you by the power of God's Spirit. Now, this is ancient world stuff, right? This is ancient world stuff. So when we're talking about the Acts reading and the Areopagus and Paul's criticism, it would be really easy, would it not, to say, yeah, you know, they had it all wrong, right? Building temples, all sorts of gods. We don't do that. Right? Yeah, wrong. Wrong. In fact, I would want to argue that we don't do things a lot differently than what they did in the ancient world. They had a different paradigm, that they built actual temples and they actually had, you know, figures of gods and whatnot that they made offerings to. But it seems to me that, in fact, what we do in our world is that we have all sorts of temples. Did you know that in the medieval world, and actually even before that a little bit, when churches were built in a city or a town, they were always put on the highest place. Do you know why? Because it was meant to remind everybody that above us all is God, and that we should all look up to God who is present with us in the midst of us. And so that is what rules over all. Now, if you were walking through downtown Calgary and you looked up, what cathedral would you see? Anybody? The Calgary Tower, okay, that's one. Calgary Tower, yeah. Anybody, other ones? Telus, yeah, there you go. And, sorry? The gas company, yes, the gas company, TELUS, the Calgary Tower, yeah. The Bow Building, yeah. And it's all what goes on in there. How many church services do you think go on there on a regular basis? I'm not saying that there's no faithful people in there, but how often do you think that prayer is at the heart of what goes on in those offices? Not very often. No, not really. Why? Because the temples of our age are the temples of power and wealth, of commerce. Those are the temples that we build. And we worship at them on a regular basis. I mean, in the medieval world, it took years and years and years to build a great cathedral, but they built it because it was a way of honoring and glorifying God. And now we take, well, it doesn't take all that long anymore, we build big towers for commerce. If you go into Toronto, it's all banks. I don't know if you've heard, anybody noticed that in Toronto? It's not all banks, but the big bank towers are all down there. Commerce, TD, all of them. We are declaring as a culture what our gods are. The most important things are money, commerce, power. That's the way it works. Oh, and there's one other one, of course. Celebrity. They don't necessarily have to build buildings because they come right into your living room through the TV or across your TV screens, right? And so we actually live... Well, I could just hear Paul standing in front of everybody saying in the downtown, I see you are religious in every way. You are religious in every way. You have built beautiful monuments to all the wrong things. All the wrong things. You've built all these monuments. And he'd probably be looking for, is there an altar here for the unknown God? Somewhere tucked away in the corner? Maybe. That story from the Areopagus just so touches me in terms of the lostness of our culture. Because we offer to people all sorts of things, and really it's about looking for love, looking for God, looking for the love of God, but in all the wrong places. Today, we are gathered to celebrate confirmations, reaffirmation, reception. And at the heart of that is an affirmation of looking for love in the right place. Recognizing our need because God has made us for God's self. And as St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Him. But our affirmation is about saying yes to where God truly is found, and that is in Jesus Christ. Saying yes to where love in its full reality died on the cross for our salvation. Where love brings us new life through the resurrection of Jesus. And where love, if I can use the word, is consummated as God sends God's Spirit into our very hearts so that God dwells in us by the power of His Spirit. So that we not only know love as something in our heads, as something that is external to us, but as something that is in the very core and the heart of our being. Paul quotes in his thing in the Areopagus, as some of your poets have said, in Him we live and move and have our being. And Jesus says that I will send, or the Father will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, that will dwell with you so that we are abiding in your love, or you are abiding in my love, and I abide in the Father's love, and we abide together, we live together. In Him we live and move and have our being. And that is the heart of what's being affirmed by all of these folks today. That we're no longer looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for love in the one place where it is true and eternal. in Jesus Christ. And that love is given as a gift because the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we don't need actually to build temples because we are now the temple of God's presence because the Spirit lives within us and is with us to guide, to strengthen, to uphold, and to transform us by His love. So there are some people who are going to stand up in a minute or two, and they're going to make promises, and they're going to be prayed over. And that is right and good, and we will all be praying along for them. But it's also a time that we are reminded of what we have been called to in Christ, who Jesus is for us, and what is at the center of our lives and our hearts, the crucified and risen Christ and the power of His Spirit to draw us ever more deeply into the love of the One who made us and sustains us and calls us to Himself. May God's Spirit touch our minds and our hearts this day and draw us nearer into the knowledge of that truth and into the love of the One who has saved us. Amen.